Last week, we talked about a line that was drawn right here. And before we go on with worship, I have to explain to you something. It's God's formula. God has a formula. It's a simple one. It goes like this. God gives a lot, and sometimes that's where it stands. But the other part of the formula is we give a little, and the last part is he gives a lot more. That's how it works. God gives a lot, we give a little, he gives a lot more. That is his formula. It's always been the way he's worked. It's the way it worked at the very beginning. We looked last week at a story of how God started his kingdom of Israel by rescuing them out of captivity. And he crossed that line. He said, I'm on your side. And he provided for them, and he led them, and he gave them food, and he gave them all kinds of stuff, and he gave them a guide. He gave them a tablet. He gave them all kinds of things. He gave them gifts. And then he just had one question. He said, who's on the Lord's side? That was their opportunity for just a small step to cross that line. And he's ready to give them a lot more. That's how God works. That's how he works with you. That's how he works with me. It hasn't changed. Yeah, we're in a new covenant. We're in a new time. Same thing. God gives a lot. We give a little. He gives a lot more. And so we are going to take seriously this question that was posed last week. It was the same question that Moses posed to the people of Israel. Who is on the Lord's side? And we want to take that seriously this semester. And we want to start tonight by starting to take steps. Because in that story, when Moses said, who's on the Lord's side, it says that the Levites came running to him. And he said, I'm going to use you guys. I'm going to use the Levites to help lead everyone else across that line of holiness. And he gave them a book, Leviticus. And he said, I want you to use this book. This is going to be your guide of how to get people across that line so that people will know how to be on my side. We're going to go through the book of Leviticus this semester. Tonight we start that. And tonight we're starting with just putting our toe over the line, really is what it is. It's just about putting our toe over the line. But we have to be ready to do it. Because I'm telling you right now, I just don't like church games. I like meeting the Almighty God on his terms and his book. And he has called us to something, I think, as a community this semester. And I'm asking us to take it seriously, not just tonight, but the whole semester, that we would go through this series by being prepped tonight to say, you know what? And we're going to worship on the front end tonight. Tonight's worship is at the front end to prepare us for what God's asking us to do next. Let's speak with the Lord. God knows something about us that we don't know about ourselves, and he knows that we need rhythms. We need patterns. We need a culture. And he knew that culture before was just awful. And he knew that the culture of them in the desert was just completely selfish. No matter how much he showed himself real to them, they just ran from him. And so the first five books of Leviticus are really strange. Not going to lie. Talks about sin offerings and guilt offerings and grain offerings and fellowship offerings. And what God is doing there is he's helping them understand that there needs to be a pattern set. And the word first fruits comes through those like crazy, all the way through. He said, I want you to give your first goat. I want you to give your first and your best sheep. I want you to give your first and your best doves. I want you to give your first and your best calf. I mean, everybody had some, that was your level of wealth, I think, in the day. And so everyone had some sort of animal that they had to bring and for these different sacrifices. And sometimes it was like, bring your first grain offering. Bring your first barley harvest. But bring your first. Don't bring leftovers to the Lord. He said, I want you to bring your first. And Jesus sums up all five of those books. We are probably not going to, I'm just warning you right now, Leviticus is a really strange book, and there's only so much you can look into about doves and goats and calves. And so we're using Leviticus. I'm just going to tell you, full disclosure, Leviticus is an outline for us this semester. And I think it's easy to sum up. Jesus had a way of summing up God's words in a really pithy way. That's a big word, a small word, but a big word. A really pithy way is he said in Matthew 6:21, he said this, he said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's really what all first five books of Leviticus are all about. It's where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to follow. God says, "I want your heart. I want your heart, and I know the only way I'm going to get your heart is if I'm going to command you to give your first. Give your first of everything." And so that's what they did. And I think we can all understand that idea of first. I had this struggle of first with my family because I know it's important to spend time with the Lord. I really want that for my family. And so it's like, what are we going to do? We're going to have to find a time for us to all get together. Now, I've got five teenagers, so it's hard to find time between their schedules and mom and dad. But I was like, we're going to do this. We are followers of the Lord. We are going to do this. And so we sat down, and we all had the same amount of time. And so we all sat down, and we said, okay, let's just take a look. You know, we got to find a time that's common for all of us. And so how about Monday nights? It's like, yeah, I'm kind of busy on Monday nights. How about Tuesday nights? Well, I got leadership, and we got some other things going on with school. Wednesday night, oh, that's going to be football practice, Dad, until a certain time. And then Matea's got to work on Thursday nights as well, Wednesday and Thursday nights. Okay, guys, how about Friday and Saturday? Seriously, Dad? All right, how about Sunday? Okay, we'll try Sunday. Sunday nights, we've been doing it off and on sporadically. We try it. We think it's a good time. It's about the only time in the week that seems that we have common time off in the evenings, and all of a sudden, Mateo's working late, and Judah's in a basketball league, and we don't have Sundays anymore either. So you know what we did a year and a half ago is I knew what we probably needed to do is we needed to understand God's way, God's commands of first, for first fruits. And so I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit mad. I was frustrated. We've got this much time and we can't find any time to be together for the Lord. I was really mad. And so here's what we decided to do. We decided, and this is not even close to being brag-worthy. I mean, it's just such a minor thing that we did. Is we just said, how about, as a matter of fact, I even said it kind of half mad. I mean, Mike is here and maybe some other kids are here. They'll confirm it. It's like, do we have 5 minutes? In the morning, first thing, before we go to school. And we're all like, yeah. Now, the kids are old enough, they can drive themselves to school. Paulette takes Ren to school. I don't have to be up. It's kind of nice. I could sleep in. And I've not been able to sleep in for years. And I just, every once in a while, want to sleep in. Is that so wrong? No, I don't think so. And so we decided as a family that the best time for us to really be together is just 5 minutes. It's a measly 5 minutes at the beginning of the day. As we all know, as things get busy and we start getting into the day, it gets eaten up. Your time gets eaten up by everybody else. And the Lord is sitting back and he is calm and he is patient. And he says, I have blessed you. I have blessed you beyond measure, and I'm asking you to do a little step for me. Because the formula is, remember, God gives a lot, you give a little, I'll give you a lot. More. And I have to tell you, it's been pretty cool. It's been it's probably been a year and a half now. It's the only thing that's ever worked consistently for my family for quiet time it's not even quiet, it's really not. Well, it kind of is because they're half sleeping. But in the morning, 5 minutes, I set my alarm clock every morning for 6:18. Everyone can say, aw, I know, it's bad, that's bad, I understand. But I get up at 6:18, I do a little prep, 6:30, they kind of drag themselves into the kitchen, and there's not a lot of talking, there's a little bit of mumbling, there might be a little bit of complaining about who's wearing whose shirt, and then we sit down, and we just do 5 minutes with the Lord. And I think God honors that. I think God blesses that. I think my kids are going to be raised, and I think there's going to be something, even if they don't get anything out of those 5 minutes, I think there's something that they're going to say, you know what, it was important to Dad. It was important enough in our family. We are a family that follows the Lord because we gave our first 5 minutes to the Lord. Sounds ridiculous, but it's hard. It is. Those 5 minutes, it sounds really easy. Oh, yeah, 5 minutes. I can do 5 minutes. Try it. 5 minutes is hard because we're people. We're people. And that 5 minutes, I'm telling you, it's created a rhythm in our family. And now there is, I can honestly say, a culture in my home of getting up and giving God the first 5 minutes of the day. Again, no applause necessary. It's measly. But there's a culture there. And I think God smiles. There is a culture here. And it's a good one. I like our culture here. A lot of you gave your first week of the Lord to meet here tonight, Monday night. And you put your toe in the water, you just cross the line a little bit, and you put your toe over the line, and God does something with your firsts, doesn't he? A lot of you, most of you, probably showed up here, I'm guessing, thinking, I'm just going to go on Monday. We've got 250 of you in small groups. We've got over 200 of you guys that are signing up for service teams. There's 135 of you that are going on mission trips, taking the first weeks of your summer to the Lord. You step over, God blesses you beyond belief. You didn't sign up for that, but that's what you want because God blesses you. He meets you on the side. You put your toe over the line and he says, I give you more. And I don't hear anybody saying, well, that sucks. We like it. God blesses us. It's a beautiful thing to step over the line and have him bless you more. We have a culture of investing in each other, a culture of discipleship and a culture of service and a culture of missions. And it's awesome. We do not have a culture of giving. And that's on me. Oh, we pass a KFC bucket around. To be honest with you, it kind of makes me feel better. Let's pass the KFC bucket around and see if we can get some scraps. But let's just make no mistake. When we pass a KFC bucket around, it is leftovers. I know that is. Because largely it's because we live in a non-cash world and I'm passing a KFC bucket around. And I've been asking myself the question this week, what would it look like if we took God's word seriously and not go crazy, but just kind of put a toe over the line to see what God might do collectively if we become people that take his word seriously and we become a culture of giving. Now, there's only three things you can do with money. It's really simple. The first thing is you can spend it. We're all really good at that. We can spend money. And if you look at that text there, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And so people that take the first thing that they, the first money they get, where does the first go? For most people, I think they can honestly say, my first money goes at a different place every month, every week. Some weeks, my heart is with Nike. Some weeks, my heart is with Burger King. Some weeks, my heart is with a missionary. But it doesn't stay there because there's no culture of it, because it's not consistent. Make sense? It's kind of the same thing back, if I go back to the time thing with me and the Lord. I might have some moments with my kids, but there's no culture there unless I make it consistent, unless I make it regular, unless I make it the first. God knew what he was talking about when he said, give your first. The second thing that you can give, so you know what, those people's hearts are everywhere usually. Spenders, your heart's everywhere because your treasure's everywhere. The second thing you can do with money is you can save it. I recommend saving it. I think it's a wise thing. But have you ever noticed the people that are obsessed with saving first? Like, the only thing that, like, we're going to save it, 401k or whatever they call those things, and we say we're going to actually put money aside for me. They kind of get stingy, don't they? They kind of get selfish. They kind of become about them. Their heart's with them. They're saving for them. Therefore, their heart is with them. There's a selfishness. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If your first money goes to saving, you're dangerously close to having a heart that's full of you. Third thing you can do with money is you can give it. And that's where God's saying, hey, I just want your first. And he told the Israelites, this is how much I want, this is how much I need you to give. And actually, Ted Max at Vail helped me to understand that the word tithe in this context, in Leviticus, really isn't what we call a tenth. It's really more than that when he's expecting to, for when he's asking the Israelites to give. It's actually about 27% of their giving. So where this green line is, I guess I'll spin it this way so it's consistent with what I was talking about before. This would be the first. You guys see the green? That's what God asked of the Israelites, to give their first. We in the church today consider a tithe to be 10%. That would be the black. You see the black? It doesn't seem like as much as, I mean, you still got 90%. I mean, it's quite a bit. But the reality is here, most people don't give 10%. I am not here to talk about 10% tonight. Because here's what I'm going to give you a sneak peek into me. I'm going to give you my excuses as to why in the past I don't think I've been as hard about this topic as I think I need to be. Because I see you guys giving your money away. I see you guys having people on mission trips, friends that are going on mission trips. You want to give to them, you want to give to others, you got to give to stuff here in town. And I think you guys, for the most part, are very generous people. But I'm not doing anyone any favors when I don't prepare you for what God is calling us to for the rest of your life, because listen close to this, people. Listen so close. I want you to be a dynamic leader for Jesus Christ. Our hope here is to prepare you to be a leader, to be an adult, to grow up, and to be somebody that's going to contribute in a way that's going to change this world. And if you do not understand the concept of your first fruits going to God, you will be behind the eight ball. And I'm asking for us to consider that tonight. You know what I'm asking for tonight? I'm asking, I had to think this through, like, what am I really going to ask of our students to give? I'm not going to ask 10%. I'm not going to ask 5%. I'm not going to ask 1% because I don't think I even know how to figure out percentages. What would it look like if we each gave? Now, this is something that came to me last semester. That's something I've been praying about. And what I'm about to share with you is the result of lots of months of prayer. And I'm asking for you to receive this with grace. I've been praying that God would reveal to me what it would take for us to be people that would know how to step over the line just a little bit. And God just kind of put in my head, hey, if 5 minutes worked for your family, maybe $5 would work for a student. And so I'm going to give the challenge. You all came in tonight, you were handed a little green thing. Did you guys see that? A little square? It's got a little five in the top left corner. And that's really, it's a symbol for first five. First five is something I want to be a regular thing that we talk about here. I want that to be a culture of what we're about. And what it is our first $5 each week. And instead of passing a KFC bucket and hoping that we get leftovers, I think God's really more interested in us giving our first to him. And I know a lot of you here are like, man, I'm strapped. I got a lot of bills. I got things going on. I don't know where I'm going to find the money. Hey, it's just like time. I don't know where we're going to find it, but God says that you can always renegotiate the first. We've all got $5 to renegotiate. Because if you go very far down the line, there's never money at the leftovers. But if you go further back and further back and further back and further back and further back, and we go to the very first thing, I don't even know. Can any of you guys see that first little bit? It's red. Some of you can't even see it. That's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for us to consider what it would be like for God to say, God, I'm serious. This is my first five, and it's for you. And I think God's got amazing, big, crazy things for us to do this semester that he wants to do, not me. And you're like, well, what are you after here, Pete? I'm not after anything. I'm after you being the Lord's, us being the Lord's. And you say, I don't have much money. Perfect. That's what God's saying. I said, God, I don't have much time to give you. My whole family is busy. I don't know what I, and I think Jesus was whispering down to me. He was saying, perfect. Because you know what I do the most with? I do the most when you've got the least, but you give it to me anyway. Do you remember that one time that Jesus went down, he had his disciples with him, and he says, I want you guys to come in, I want you to see something. And they go down to where they're putting money in the offering bins, and you got all these leaders that are giving, and they're like kind of showing off, and they're giving their money. And he said, I want you to watch that woman right there. And she just gives like 2 pennies into this pot. And he says, she just gave more because she gave out of her poverty. They gave out of their wealth. She gave her first. They gave their leftovers. God's into firsts. And I want to ask us to consider first tonight. We're going to go into a lot of other things through the course of this semester, but I don't think it's coincidence that God started the first five books with giving. We got to establish a culture. And I believe that God smiles down on us when we together can do that. Most of you know Brad and Gina. Not many of you know their older sister. Their older sister came through here, Kira, years ago. And I went to her after graduation, and I visited her where she was at, and she was teaching, and got to go out to dinner and chatted. And I told her about how we were hoping that some of our alumni would give back, and I had very little expectations. I just said, you know, we've got different levels of giving that might be helpful for you. We've got $25 a month. We've got $50 a month. We've got these other options. If you want to give back, we want your heart to stay here. I said, and then we've got some of our bigger givers are at $200, $250. That's what we consider our big givers per month. And immediately, she said, yeah, we can do that. I was like, whoa, 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 you just graduated. I'm not sure you can do it. We can do that. I was blown away. And I was always kind of worried that maybe, just maybe, she kind of overextended herself and something along those lines. And what ended up happening, I talked to her about 4 or 5 years later, and I said, hey, how are you doing? Kind of catching up. And she just kind of in passing said, yeah, and all of my student loans are now paid off completely. It's like, on the teacher's salary? Yep. I said, and you've continued to give at a high level. I said, how do you do it? And she said, a quote that just, it's a quote that stuck with me. She said, I've just never really had trouble telling my money where to go. That's a cool line. I've never really had trouble just telling my money where to go. And I am, if you don't feel like this is your home, this is not a money talk. This is a first talk. And for you, maybe we need to talk about your time, your first 5 minutes. And for some of you here, you might be like, this isn't really my home, my home's somewhere else. Then you need to start giving financially to them. But if you consider this your home, then I'm going to ask all of you, I'm going to ask every single one of you to renegotiate your first $5, because when we renegotiate that first $5 and everybody steps a little bit over that line, I think unbelievable things are going to begin to start to happen here, and we're going to be blown away, just like we've been blown away in the other areas that God has asked us to take a first step in. And I think if we only give our first five, then you know what you can do with your second five and your third five and your fourth five and your fifth five? You can start supporting some of the people that are precious to me. I want you to know that Molly and Michelle and Haley, we only pay them part-time. We pay them half their salary. They work full-time. They are responsible for raising the rest. I would love it if that would be one of the benefits of us coming across this line and we start to give more to them. I'm going to make them ask you, though. And do you guys think that Luke's going to just be an amazing campus minister in Germany? Oh, my gosh. I think Luke's going to just kill it over there. And he's at 30%. He needs to raise a lot of money. He has to be at 80% in like 6 months or something like that, or less than that, 4 months, something like that. He needs to raise a bunch of money. I want you to give to him. I want you to fill this black up with stuff that's just going to make you smile. But I don't think that we can truly all do that in a way without first saying collectively, God has called us to this community with the red to say, these first $5 are yours, God. I'm going to give it to you. And up to this point, it's been really hard, I think, for us to be able to ask for that because we haven't really had the means to do that. We haven't really had an online system that was really very good. I want you to know Ben Miller has worked his butt off for the last 2 weeks putting up a website that's awesome. If you haven't seen it yet, I want you to see it tonight. It's great. You saw a little bit of it just a second ago. And I know this. This is my last thing I'm going to say. Cultures don't change in a controlled environment. There is so much of a part of me that wants to make the mood right and the music right and the feeling right, and then we end up just gliding in to a giving moment, and then we all cross the line together. And it's like we sing kumbaya for the rest of our life, and then we're all with Jesus. That's not how it works. If you've been around my breakfast table, the first 5 minutes are ugly. Everyone's wiping crusties out of their eyes. Bad breath, a little bit grumpy, tired. But I'm telling you, cultures are established not in controlled environments. They're established in your dorm room. They're established in your apartment. They're established outside of this place. That's why discipleship has worked so well, is because it happens outside of this room. And if we're going to establish a culture of giving, we have to get way past the idea of, oh, Pete made a really good point on that one night in January. This has got to be something that we regularly talk about and we regularly challenge each other to, and we just become a people that say, hey, it is not about the amount, it's about the first. God honors our firsts. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to end tonight without any music. It's going to be kind of an awkward, weird, okay, we're going to leave now moment. And I'm going to send us home. And I'm going to send you to your dorms and to your apartments or wherever you're at. And it's just, that's where I want culture to start. And I want you to pull up our website. And it's on that little sheet that you were given. And I want you to scroll around. I want you to play around on that website a little bit. And I want you to see all that God is doing. I want you to think about this formula of the Lord. And I want you to think, as you scroll and you look at this whole thing of what God's doing, you know there's, you know the stories behind all this. You have the fortunate privilege of being able to see that stuff. You know that stuff. But as you look and you say, God, you've given us so much. Here's my little, do more with it. And there's an opportunity on the give page for you to click on that same colored first five emblem. And when you click on it, a screen will pop up that you can say, I want to give regularly, and you change monthly to weekly, and maybe you even change it to Monday because it's the first day of the month or the week. And you say, God, on that first day of the week, I'm giving you my first five. Do with it as you wish. If that's your conviction, I ask you to just do that tonight on your own. And what we're going to do is throughout the semester, we're just going to, as a regular part of celebrating what God's doing about us collectively changing our culture, we're going to give an update of how many people are on first five. Each week, we're just going to say it. And if I have to get up here next week and say four, I'm going to say four. And I don't know what that number is. I'm not going to throw it out there. I do not want to beat a drum and say, come on, guys, we got 15 more to go. I don't want to do that. I just know that the culture needs to shift, and I want to help you become the adults that God's called you to be. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. Lord, Lord, I know you're listening right now. And this is a somber moment for me. This is a serious moment for all of us. I'm speaking on behalf of this community of yours, that we would be people, we would be known as a group, we would be known as a ministry that's on your side. And we're starting off with baby steps. You've got bigger challenges for us, I'm confident of that. But right now, we know you started off that book of Leviticus to say, get a rhythm, get a culture. And we've seen your rhythm, and we've seen your culture, we want more. We want to see it in this specific area. God, there nothing would make me happier than for us to be known as the place that gives and blesses, and you turn $5 into $5,000. I don't know how you do those things. You do those things. And I'm reminded in Malachi, you gave us a promise. You said, test me. Oh, you don't believe me? You just test me in this. God, we want to cross that line just a little bit. It's hard. I know it's hard. It's $5, but it's still hard. And it's embarrassing to say that to you, but it's hard. Help us to be a community that takes you seriously as we go home tonight, that we would be excited about what more you're about to do. So, Father, I just want to thank you for these individuals, for these people, for each one of these souls in this place, that we collectively can come together. And I'm asking, God, that you'd empower them to be all you want them to be as we move forward through this semester going on your side. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Love you. See you next week.